Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't know how you're doing, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. That's right, it's worst day ever. The 24 Season 2 Recap Podcast here on Post Show Recaps. I'm Josh Wigler, renewed for a second season here on Worst Day Ever alongside my co-host in all things Bauer Hour, Emily Fox.
Oh, hi.
Can you believe it? We got picked up for a second season.
I know. I can't wait to
figure
out
these fools who renewed
this
us.
How this second day is going to go.
Oh, my God. It is the second worst day ever as we are embarking on a brand new 24-hour cycle for poor Jack. He has a bunch of these, Emily. You know, there was 8 full seasons of the show, and then
I
they did like
I'd
a
retire.
Ninth one.
Did he? I mean, we're gonna find out because we haven't watched the second season first episode
right.
yet. But like, he had to have taken a leave of absence.
I don't know. I mean, we are recording this before we have watched the season 2 premiere. We wanted to do a quick hi. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
How's it going? It has been a minute since you've heard Emily and I on Worst Day Ever. We had the spoiler edition of the podcast that Emily Fox sat out on because you have not seen any 24 past season 1.
This
so
is correct.
It would be uncouth for you to sit in on that podcast.
Uncouth.
That podcast, by the way, that spoiler podcast, spoiler alert, has not yet recorded. We are recording this.
I was going to say, I feel like you haven't done it because you were telling me that I needed to leave the apartment.
Yeah, you got to leave because my brother Ben showed up, came over. This is the plan anyway. So now I'm like, I'm assuming that the plan goes accordingly.
Okay.
That my brother who I was going to say, my brother who I grew up with, my brother, not
I mean,
everyone grows
people,
up.
Yeah,
yeah
not
that's
everybody
right.
grows
yeah.
up with their siblings.
My brother who I grew up with, who loved Jack Bauer alongside myself, we got together, we talked 24. I'm sure it was lovely. It hasn't happened yet in my experience, but for you, dear listener, we hope that you enjoyed that, but only if you have seen all of 24 or don't care about the spoilers. Otherwise, you got ruined on a lot of stuff. But Emily and I have not been in the Worst Day Ever podcast feed in a hot minute. We are recording this on November 15th. 2021. We are, you know, we're stashing a few of these recaps is the plan. So that the
correct
recording schedule and the release schedule all goes off without a hitch.
I love that you explain these things to people.
I think it's important for me, less so for the
yeah,
listener.
You're kind of like talking it through for yourself, I feel like.
It's a lot of, yeah, a lot of therapy.
You got a lot to schedule.
Via podcasting. Life is complicated these days. But I do want to get some stuff out there before we continue on. So we, Emily and I, started season one of 24 in May 2020, watched a few episodes, stopped, resumed the project a full year later, and in it was the end of October 2021.
When
Emily and I finished season one, when Emily Fox watched Nina Myers come out as a traitor and murder Terry Bauer. These are things that I can now say in front of you, Emily.
I know, and I'm slowly recovering. Mm-hmm. It's been a few weeks.
You've recovered enough that it is time now to see how Jack is holding up.
How's Jack doing? He's not faring so well, even a few years removed, as is my prediction.
So we're going to be getting into season two. The way the podcast works is typically these are relatively short podcasts. We've said 24 minutes or less. This podcast will be longer. It's the premiere, so we're not really beholden to any time. We want to hear from you, dear listener, as we go along the way. We will stop and take feedback when relevant, when appropriate. Josh@postshowrecaps.com is that channel. You can send me an email. And we will get to your stuff, if not early in the season, certainly later. We had a riveting feedback show, I thought, Emily. Really, really fun.
A day in the life.
Yeah, so the season two day in the life will be really enjoyable, but we won't get there for a long time. You know,
yeah.
24 episodes is a really long run. As we said, it took us well over a year to do it the first time. We're hoping it won't take us quite that long
for the second round. I don't think so.
But it still will take 24 weeks of podcasting at the very least. So we're going to be here for the full ride. We're really psyched. This podcast is not possible without the support of the patrons of Post Show Recap. So I want to give them a big shout out. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps if you want to support the arts and join your fellow worst day everers.
Support those arts.
Support them and be a part of the team. So that's a little bit of spiel. Emily, we are diving into season two. We have not watched it yet. It was released in 2002. 2002 mm-hmm. to 2003 was the span for season two of 24. Kiefer Sutherland returns as Jack Bauer. You had listed out some predictions for season two during the 24 feedback show, which is now a little bit of a memory, I'm sure, for people at this point on the Worst Day Ever podcast, Miss Fox. But my question for you is just sort of like, predictions aside, what are your expectations as you are about to head into season two? What are you hoping to see? What are you not hoping to see? Like, give me some thoughts as you are, as we're transitioning out of the first worst day ever and moving into the second worst day ever.
Well, I feel like it's going to kind of have its stride a little bit better this time around because it's not a new concept for television, right? Because one of the things I learned about while I was watching this for the first time was the fact that it was going to end earlier if it wasn't going to be picked up for a second season. So I have a feeling that, you know, as is any writer's room, once you're a little bit more seasoned and you understand, you know, what the show is about and you're a little bit more comfortable writing everybody, it's going to be a little bit more of a solid plot line that doesn't feel like it drags. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you keep warning me about Kim Bauer.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
You know, I that doesn't mean that bad plots don't exist in this world, but I think that there's probably a tighter set of 24 episodes altogether.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's your thinking.
I mean, that's my assumption because, yeah, you've already done one season of TV doing this, so shouldn't it be a little bit tighter?
You better have figured out how to do two.
Yeah.
You better figure out how to do a few of these seasons. Season two was the first 24 season that I watched in its entirety, you know, from start to finish. There are moments in season two that stand out to me as among the most classic moments of not just 24, but for me as a TV viewer and like my, you know, the product of my experiences, there are some things that happen in this season that were formative in some ways.
Okay.
Iconic for sure. We are going to get to meet some new characters that I deeply love, some of whom I loathe.
Okay.
There will be some familiar faces to you even, just as actors. One person is coming to mind immediately. And then another person just shot to mind and for a worse reason.
Oh, no.
And so there's going to be,
is it polarizing for me? You think?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know that you have like a huge take coming up on any of the two people that came to mind. One will just be more like, oh, that guy. And then the other will be like, really? That guy?
Okay.
Those come to mind. Oh, another person just came to mind. I think I think you'll laugh.
Okay.
I think you'll laugh when you see that person. I don't know when that person shows up. But no, it's season two of 24. We've lived with a lot of these characters already at this point. So we're coming back to a bunch of people who we already know. So that's one thing that I'm excited about with the podcast, Fox, is that like to some extent, you know, this is a continuation, you know, season two, I really do think of as like a sequel to season one of 24. It's going to be bigger in scope. You know, the level of danger that is leveled at the characters and the world of the show is significant. And it is also going to be significant to a degree that I think 24 has a huge problem scaling back down after this season.
Okay.
But I think that it's a scaled up season of the show that still has a lot of the intimate personality of season one. There isn't a ton of time for your Dr. Ferragamos.
No one wants to talk about that kind of thing so much.
Yeah, and when they do show up, they're pretty observable. Like you know. But I do think that there is a large degree to which the action and the sense of urgency behind the action and the intensity of the personal stories
is a little more polished.
I think that they are woven together in a way that works pretty well.
I have to imagine they had a better budget for season two, right?
I'm not sure off the top of my
head. Does it look cleaner?
We're about to find out. It's been a while since I've rewatched it. I haven't rewatched it since, 2014. So it's been a really long time.
I know there's going to be a soul patchless Tony Almeida in this.
Tony Almeida.
Do you think he's going to look over and be like, I can't believe they didn't replace the coffee machine?
Yeah, wow. He got so loud.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, we did say, I'm never not going to speak my voice again.
That killed me.
Tony is going to be without the soul patch. But there will be other ways.
But there's plenty of soul still there.
There will be other ways in which Tony will make up for his lack of soul patch. Doesn't mean he has lost any soul, Emily.
That's what I just said.
Yes, you were correct about that. So that's going to be great. This was a season that was created in the wake of 9/11 from, you know, start to finish.
Right.
This show, this season is conceived in that. We are going to be dealing with Islamophobia is a thing this season. We're going to be dealing with, you know, like terrorist panic. It is a lot of that vibe from the early 2000s that will be uncomfortable at times for sure.
Well, I can't wait for how it's going to play out in like 20 years when everyone writes all of the TV or like looks back on the TV that came out right after COVID too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like COVID is like a synonym for terrorism in the like vernacular of every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of our current existence.
Yeah. It's interesting to kind of look back on stuff like that. So for sure, terrorism. Gosh, it felt like every other word was terrorism or terror or axis of evil, blah,
yeah,
blah.
I mean, I think that there may be a way in which this is even like somewhat transportative for you as far as like what was the culture like, because we were,
I remember,
you know,
it very deeply.
We were late high school, early college stuff.
That stuff doesn't really go away. It maybe fades a little bit, but it was such a formative couple of years for people of our age group specifically. I mean, everybody who was alive then, for the most part, except for really, really young children, probably remember it. But like, very, you know, specifically, I'm interested to see how this plays out, because I do think that this was like one of the larger world events, and obviously something that impacted us very personally. And there was like a schism in TV and programming and a lot of things culturally that followed.
Yes.
So that will be very interesting to kind of keep an eye out.
There's some ways in which I think that they handled this in a surprising way. Sometimes like a good surprise, sometimes a less good surprise.
Okay.
So we'll track some of that as it goes. Like,
sure.
It's a very twisty and turny season of 24.
Okay.
Not that season one was not, but they really do. I think that the further along 24 goes, the harder and harder it becomes to buy into some of the twists and turns. And there ends up being a little bit of, fatigue behind certain kinds of twists and turns.
Kind of like the current season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Now shots fired. Poo, poo, poo.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit dated at this point, potentially. But yeah, I mean, I think that there are a few ways in which 24 gets kind of...
Well, it's like a bait and switch. After a while, it doesn't work so well.
Yeah, I think like you start to see some of the shots coming. But I think on this season, it's still doing things that are going to shock you and leave you guessing.
Well, I should think so, because it's only the second season, and how many seasons of this show are there?
Yeah. There are 8 full seasons,
right,
plus the 24 Live Another Day
so,
bonus
yeah.
season.
Obviously, the alchemy of everything that's sort of happening and being written into the show works. But yeah, I can see that fading over time. That happens to a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Then you just hold on and make some character have a baby.
I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about the future of the show.
Oh, God. Does that mean Kim's going to have a baby?
No, it means Jack Bauer is going to do a junior. No, I'm kidding. But we will see what's going to happen in the future of 24. But
okay.
We are going to see what's going to happen in the imminent, immediate future.
Sure.
Of season one, or rather season two, episode one of 24.
Okay.
In just a moment. Do you want to make any, how do you think episode one's going to end? What's like the last thing you're going to see in episode one of season two?
A fireball.
A fireball. Wow.
Yeah.
Just like
a little explosion.
Okay. A little explosion is what
we're
looking
for. Maybe not little.
For.
I don't know. A moderate size.
All right.
Explosion.
We'll see. We'll see if there's a moderate size explosion at the end of season one, season two, episode one. We're going to watch that right now. We're going to stop recording for a bit. When we return, we will have seen season two, episode one. We will begin the recap process, and we will be cooking with gas for season two.
Ooh, an explosion.
Of 24. Let's get into it, Fox.
Okay.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Emily Fox, that's episode one of season two of 24.
What the hell did I just watch? What was that?
It was a lot. There's a lot that happened, so you're going to have to be a little more specific than that. It wasn't a fireball.
No.
That wasn't a fireball.
It was definitely like hot rage, though.
Yeah, white hot rage, toxic
very white,
masculinity.
Very white hot rage.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Have you ever noticed that in the 24 worlds, there are women who are above ground outside of the office who are only blonde, and then every other type of woman is in the office working?
And isn't blonde. No, but I'm going to have to be on watch for that.
Yeah. It's like the above ground and the below ground, like the mole people.
The mole people are the Nina Myers of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
No fireball in this one, but the threat of a nuclear fireball as we are getting in to season two of 24. We are what at this point? About 2 minutes removed from finishing the episode.
Not even.
I think I had
enough time to like sit up straight and have the cat jump.
Yeah,
off
and then
my
I
lap.
Just pressed record and
yep,
and here we're going.
Yeah.
Broad thoughts, Fox. How did you feel about the season two premiere? It's different.
I mean, it is different. And
but also the same.
Yeah, there's a lot of familiarity here, and it's so nice to see David Palmer.
Yeah,
he's and the president now.
That's Mr. President to you.
Yeah, and Keith.
And Keith, who I do not believe we're ever going to see again.
Stop it.
That's a curtain call on Keith Palmer, if I'm not mistaken. so I just don't want you out here.
Hope you caught enough fish.
I don't want you out here waiting for Keith. He's not coming. I think that's it. I think that's the last time you see Keith. It's just like a little like show of Keith to be like, hey, we're still good. Everything's fine. He's free. Like nothing happened. He's okay. But yeah, we move on to bigger things.
See you later.
Pretty quickly. Well, let's dive into the episode because there's a lot to cover. I had forgotten actually how much
how
there was to cover.
It is?
Yes, for sure. There was a lot that I forgot about this. And on top of that, I had forgotten that they aired season two's premiere without commercial interruption.
Okay.
Which is why it felt like a longer episode.
It's a longer episode. It didn't really feel like there were much in terms of breaks.
Yeah, there weren't. Like every once in a while, they would go to split screen and a big clock would show up on the screen. And that was just the episode was continuing at that point. There was no commercial interruption for the original airing of the episode. So it's a pretty chunky episode of 24. The chunkiest one yet.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. We begin this season of 24, Emily Fox. Technically, it's midnight somewhere.
Yeah, I actually appreciated the 8 a.m. start.
Yes. It's an 8 a.m. start time for season one. Isn't it midnight in Korea? It's midnight
in South Korea.
It's midnight in South Korea where we start, but the show is going to begin 8 a.m. In Los Angeles is the episode. So you know that it'll close at 8 a.m. So we're going to be doing a light into dark, back into the light. That's the rhythm of the season, Emily Fox. That's what we're getting
into.
The
way you just did that, you looked like a magician.
I am. I was like waving my hands, the light into the dark. But it begins at midnight. We're in Seoul, and someone is getting tortured in some sort of contraption that was absolutely
disgusting.
Terrifying. This is the beginning of the torture porn stuff. So like torture porn is like a real big thing that exists in the 24 culture of like Jack Bauer doing whatever is necessary to get the bad guy to cooperate and all the people doing whatever is necessary to get the bad guy to cooperate. Like this is like deep, deep early 2000s type of stuff. But the contraption that this person is hooked up to is unfathomable to me.
It's really like gross. I don't like it at all. It felt like we were in a horror movie immediately. And I was like, cool. I remember why I don't watch things like this. So it was pretty jarring to start out that way.
It had shades of Saw, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And I think that
this is like something that Jigsaw could have cooked up.
I find all of that kind of stuff to be really disgusting.
Rings a bell.
Because it is. Thank you very much.
It is. This person has some information that he reveals finally after he's been broken down.
Yeah.
He tells it to a guy who played Jay Lee on Lost, who is somebody from the Jin and Sun storyline. Lots of Lost veterans in 24 and specifically in this episode.
Really?
Clocking a bunch of Losties.
Is that the guy you were like, do you recognize that guy?
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a second.
No,
I'm really surprised
Josh.
That you didn't recognize him. Nope. Anyway, so he comes to a bunch of people and says, it's happening today. We cut to Lake Oswego in Oregon. It's 8:02. And David and Keith Palmer, they're fishing.
Yeah.
And David Palmer, I don't know if he's fishing for salmon, but he's wearing salmon. He's got a salmon-colored shirt on.
And then you realize that there is a third person in the boat
Secret
with
them. Service.
Secret Service. Yeah. So you're like, yeah, he got elected.
Yeah, obviously
we love
he
that.
Got elected. We weren't going to not elect David Palmer.
I don't know. It's the early 2000s. Crazy stuff was happening.
So Keith is visiting David in Oregon. I don't know why they're here, but they're just
they went
like,
on a vacation.
They're summering. And David says, what do you want to do tonight? Keith says, I don't know, watch a movie? And David says, you came all this way to watch a video? Very disappointed.
Well, that's a classic you move.
Uh-huh, it is.
If your parents took you somewhere scenic, you'd be like, I'd like to watch a movie, please.
Back in the day, 100%.
Yep.
So David asks, how's your mother? And Keith says, she pretends that she's happy. She puts on a happy face, but I can tell she's hurting.
Sorry, Sherry.
So how do you read that, Fox? What's going on with Sherry Palmer?
That they've remained separated and they're just going to exist in different spheres.
Yes.
And the kids are the only connection, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well.
So that kind of follows through. I expected that. I didn't think that they were going to be like somewhat amicably like back together or something after what happened last season.
So they are split apart at this point. Then David Palmer gets an alert. Mr. President, we have a situation.
So, got to bring that canoe back in.
We're going to have to bring in the boat. Before we bring in the boat, we cut to Los Angeles, and a young girl is screaming through a house.
Yes.
Tearing a house apart. She hides under a blanket, and we cut from underneath the blanket to an adjoining bathroom where a pantsless Kim Bauer is brushing her teeth.
There's so much wrong with this entire storyline already, and I love it.
Yes. A pantsless...
So she lives with them?
Yes.
Why are you without pants on?
So Kim is an in-house... She's a live-in nanny.
Yeah.
For this young girl, Megan, who I do just want to say right off... This is a sad thing... is that the actress who played Megan is no longer alive, unfortunately.
Oh, that's terrible.
She died in 2014, Skye McColl Bartusiak, and that is a very sad thing. I remember reading that and being really bummed out about that news. So just putting that out there because the temptation...
Now I'm going to feel even worse for her than I already do, that she has a super abusive father in this show.
Well, the Megan storyline... And the Kim storyline is going to be a lot, so just be prepared for what we're going to get
hour
into.
Hour one, I would say, oh boy, what are we in for?
Yeah, so she jumps under the covers, and here comes the dad from Twilight.
Who also is the dad of Megan.
And not the like the sweet, hot vampire dad. which is how I would describe
the sweet hot vampire
dad.
The
sweet hot vampire.
Would you call him a vaddy?
A vaddy is exactly what I would call him.
Yeah.
Here comes Billy Burke is the name of the actor. I believe his character's name is Gary.
Of course it is.
I think this is Gary.
Gary,
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
So Gary comes up. And he's looking for Megan because they're playing, and then she goes and plays more hide and seek. And while she goes off and does that, Gary stares at the pantsless Kim Bauer.
It's so creepy.
Uh huh.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it. Not a fan.
At this moment in time, this is like the third episode of the season, Emily. How are we feeling about the Kim Bauer storyline? So far.
The third episode of the season?
The third scene of the episode.
Oh, scene
rather.
Of the episode.
Sorry. Yes.
I don't feel great about it. It's already like really strange and uncomfortable.
It's not
and
great.
Like that's what you're supposed to get across, I guess. Like it's not normal to have a guy ogling you early in the morning with a little blonde child running around you.
No.
That's maybe yours. I don't know. Because I was like, wait, did she have a kid? That seems crazy.
It's not great.
Yeah, but no, she's a live-in nanny, and the dad is...
a pervo.
Yeah.
And worse.
A pervert.
A pervert. We don't like it.
Yeah.
So David and Keith get split up. I'm sorry. Sorry, I just miss hanging out with you. Dad, I love you.
Well,
Keith,
we'll never
I love
see
you.
You again, Keith.
We'll never see you again. Yeah, Keith leaves the show. But it was just a nice check-in. But we have no time for Ferragamos.
No.
You know, the Ferragamo...
I have zero Ferragamos to give.
Yeah, zero Fs to give. David asks his assistant, "How bad is this going to be?" She goes, "It doesn't look good.
Not great.
Doesn't sound good. Didn't look good.
Didn't look good."
So David's nervous as he's getting led around. Meanwhile, we go to CTU, and there are a few new faces here at CTU. Meet the Connors.
It's just a montage of women.
Yes.
Being like, "Hey, George, can you come check this out?" Yes. "Oh, hey, Tony, I just figured out this thing. Tony, there's a call for you on line 3. Like, it's so
funny. The ladies
funny.
Are here, yes.
Yeah, and they've got longer hair. Emily, curly, too.
Emily predicted the Lauren of CTU, and it turns out there are multiple Laurens.
Yeah.
As Sarah Gilbert of Roseanne and the Connors fame is here as Paula.
And she seems annoying as hell,
She's bothering everybody. Tony is like, Tony Almeida's here, no soul patch, but he's looking great.
His hair is a little thick in the back.
He's got thick hair. Very thick hair.
It needs to be shaped a little bit better, but I'll give him a pass.
He's got the confidence, though, to like have like a kind of top.
He's got the confidence for any hairstyle.
His button-down shirt is like it's showing a little bit of chest. He's got no t-shirt under there. I think he looks great.
I'm sorry. I wasn't looking at him as hard as you were, clearly.
I think Carlos Bernard showed up to season 2 of 24 being like, "All right, I'm done with this old patch, but I am going to show some chest, okay?" And so he does that. So Tony Almeida is very dismissive of Paula, doesn't really care about whatever Paula is talking about. George Mason, who's showing up with
really
a beard,
really doesn't care about Paula.
Yeah, he tells Paula to bug off. George Mason is really not loving being, he's currently the director of CTU, Emily, and if you'll remember, he made a deal with David Palmer to like go work in Washington, right?
And it didn't look like it panned out.
Hasn't happened
far,
yet.
Yeah.
He tells Tony, "If I'm still here next year, please shoot me. Take me out back and shoot me. I'm supposed to be in D.C. And
well, all you have to do is bring him into an interrogation room, and Jack will take care of it.
Tony tells him, "How about the morning of the 15th?
Wow.
Now here comes
today's the 15th.
Yeah, that's right. As we're recording this, is November 15th. At
Wild.
Currently, it's 4:15.
Wow.
PM. So here's Michelle Dessler. And Michelle Dessler, she's got the curls, like the two little curls on the side. Love Michelle Dessler. I'm not going to be able to hold that back. So here comes Michelle. She tells
the
George.
Two little curls on the side.
Oh, gosh. Iconic.
Curly tendrils.
Listen, the tendrils are iconic. I can't hold that back. I've held back so much.
Why are you so into it?
I love Michelle Dessler. Okay. So Michelle.
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
I know, because she's here.
You're so excited.
I'm really excited. It's Michelle. And so Michelle shows up. And she says, "Hey, there's this request. It's from Eric Rayburn's office." And Eric Rayburn is like the head of the NSA, or he's high up in the NSA, some sort of nonsense. George says, "Eileen, could you put me on with Eric Rayburn?" And now the third CTU woman says, "You got it, boss." That's all we get from Eileen here in this episode.
Grab Eileen.
Michelle's going to come to Tony, and she leans in and she says, "The NSA wants us to bring in a Jack Bauer." And this is when we learned that Jack is inactive right now.
Wouldn't it
now.
Be funny if she read the memo wrong and she was like, "Jack Bauer."
Jack Bauer.
And Tony would be like, "Who's that?
Who's that?
I don't know who that is."
Jack Bauer? Jack Bauer?
Oh, Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer. Oh, you didn't read that right.
Yeah.
Okay. I know how to read because I spend a lot of time in the library. Okay. when we find Jack Bauer, who has been inactive for over a year. It's been about a year and a half since the end of season 1.
All right. So like the wounds are still fresh.
He's not doing well.
What do you mean?
He's got
He looks great.
He's got a big flannel coat. He's got a huge beard. He looks like somebody that Emily and I both know.
Yeah, he really does.
Looks exactly like him. Somebody who actually is one of four siblings.
Who all look like
who all look alike. The second youngest of these siblings, I used to be a camp counselor for. And Emily, I don't know if you know that we'll just call him Sam. When I was Sam's counselor, we did a movie day at summer camp.
And he dressed up as,
and we made a 24 movie, and he played the role of Jack Bauer because it looked exactly like him.
Do you have a recording of it?
I don't personally, but I'm sure I can find it, but it will not be for podcast consumption.
Okay.
Right. Back in Oregon, David Palmer is sat down.
He's on the trail.
He's brought to like this underground lair, which is sort of like the David Palmer HQ now that he's President Palmer, the Northwest Regional Ops.
Yes.
And he's sat down around the table. Here's Eric Rayburn. Here's Lynn Kresge. He's sitting next to is one of the people who he's sitting next to. We'll learn more about her. And this guy, Eric Rayburn, is like, bad news, boss. There's a nuclear bomb on U.S. soil, and it's going off today.
Yeah.
Did you know that this was the nuclear bomb season, Emily?
I didn't.
You did not know. No. What are your thoughts about there being a nuclear bomb in the mix for 24 now?
I mean, sure.
How do you go back from a nuclear bomb, right? It's kind of hard. You know?
I mean, there's a whole world of evil.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But like a nuclear bomb fits.
It's an escalation.
It's an escalation.
Season one was like, where this guy who you're going to come to really like, although you'll wonder why he keeps saying the word Ferragamo, he might get killed and we're trying to stop that.
Right.
This season is, yeah, there's a nuclear bomb that might kill 2.5 million people.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot. So we've upped the stakes significantly. Apparently they found out about this because some guy who was a suicide bomber who had apparently died not terribly long ago did not actually die, was spotted in France.
In Lyon.
With the person who we saw getting tortured at the start of the episode.
Right.
And that this guy works for a splinter cell of a terrorist organization called Second Wave, is the name of the group that is purportedly going to be responsible for blowing up the nuclear bomb.
I just like to think of all the organizations that existed at this time called Second Wave.
Like, yes.
Second Wave Childcare.
Second Wave like sounds second like a boy wave, band.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly. That were like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Couldn't they have picked something else?
Yeah. So this is the stakes. David Palmer's like, Mother of God. There is a great shot of Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah, where
the camera
zooms in
and he's just like looking up at Eric Rayburn when he gets the news about the nuclear bomb. And I'm going to curse. I'm going to drop the F word because there is a shot of him and it zooms in quickly. It's like there's a nuclear bomb on U.S. soil. And you just imagine David Palmer going, fuck. That's just like, that's the look on his face.
Yeah.
It is. So you see that we go back to I believe it's the Mathesons is who Kim is working for.
Oh,
we see this woman, Carla, who
very blonde,
who I recognize as Bonnie from season 3 of Lost.
Okay. Yeah, she looked familiar, but I couldn't place her.
She's doing a Skylar White. She's making the Heisenberg breakfast for Gary.
But you notice that she's taking extra time and attention to how she plates everything.
It's very important that she gets this right. She says Gary is really specific. And Gary is so specific that while Kim and Megan are eating breakfast, Gary comes downstairs, hugs Carla, grabs her tushy.
But he's looking at Kim while he's doing it.
Yes.
I hate all of this.
He is.
All of this is terrible.
He is staring down Kim.
Also, Kim, just like quit your job.
And then Carla leaves. And then Gary, after Carla is gone, Gary says to Kim, you know, Kim, you have a great body.
Ew. Ew. What a pervert.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to cancel Gary Matheson as quickly as possible, but I have bad news for you. It's just the first episode of season 2 of 24. I'm not going to tell you how long he's here for. What I have warned you and everyone else about is that the Kim Bauer storyline in season 2 of 24 is a lot.
Well, so far it's trash because she should just quit her job and say bye.
How would you grade the season 2 Kim Bauer storyline so far?
F. No hesitation. It's so bad. Also, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm crazy going into the mind of, like, an abuser, but do you really show all your colors the first freaking day that you hire somebody? You'd never have a babysitter.
I don't know. I don't know how long she's been here.
Well, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty early.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
Let's track the Kim Bauer story. Let's give it a separate grade, okay, separate from the rest of the episode. So an F for the Kim Bauer storyline in the first episode of season 2.
No one know how to, like, write her? Like,
Emily, an F is very low. That gives us, like, very little. Can we go lower than an F?
Yeah, you can get an F minus.
Okay, got it. Okay, can you get an F plus, or does that's a D minus?
Yeah, an F plus.
Yeah, F plus is a D minus, right? Pretty sure.
Yeah, or a D.
Anyway, he says, "Do you work out?" She goes, "I like to swim." This is awful. She eats her eggs. It's
she should have said the right thing for the time period, which is, "I like to rollerblade."
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like to skateboard with Megan outside.
No.
David Palmer gets on the phone with the prime minister of an unnamed country in the Middle East because the makers of 24 don't
racist.
Want to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that they ever name a country.
Yeah.
Pretty sure, but I might be wrong about that. That's my memory of it. But this guy is disavowing any knowledge of being in cahoots with Second Wave. David Palmer says, the intelligence says you've backed them, that you've backed Second Wave. And the guy's like, I haven't. You're insulting me. We're not planning on attacking you. And David says, he's giving this guy like the courtesy call. He's like, listen to me. If you have to hear me right now. A bomb going off in the United States is going to hurt us, but it will destroy you, is what he tells this guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The prime minister says, well, if you do that, you have created an enemy over one third of the world's population. So proceed carefully. So for historical context, we are like right on the heels, you know, we're in the George Bush has declared war phase of existence.
Yeah.
And so like 24 is kind of like coming up against that in a way that,
well, it's riding the coattails of real foreign policy is what it's doing.
Right. And so like, I think like in,
and the real foreign policy of the early 2000s was
great, right? Just great. And so like in review, like all this stuff is like, oh my gosh.
Yet I'm fixated on a Kim Bauer storyline.
Well, it's really hard not
it's
to be
so bad.
It's really hard not to be as Kim is with Megan. They're skateboarding outside and bearded Jack Bauer,
homeless Jack Bauer, tosses his bag.
Did you appreciate that later on in the episode, George Mason goes, look at you, Jack. You look like a bum off the street.
I was like, I just said that.
Yeah, because it is what he looks like.
He does.
But he steps out of the car after like George has been calling him. CT has been calling him. He's like, I don't work there anymore.
Leave me alone.
And so he goes to talk to Kim. And
which is also creepy.
He has like followed her to her new job. And it seems like they have not. She just started.
But they haven't been on the best of terms. It sounds like he's reaching out a lot. She's not returning his calls. And then she admits that
she's not ready.
Yeah, she's not ready. Every time she's with him, she's reminded of her mother, Terry.
Yes. And that's terrible.
That's terrible. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was that okay?
You get an F for this episode. Come up with better puns. You can do this. No, so he's really upset by this.
Would you say I did a terrible job?
Oh, my God.
Is that any better?
Can we move on?
Sure. So Jack says, I know you blame me. It was my fault. She goes, it's not your fault.
It's really not.
It's not your fault. You did everything you could.
Yeah.
I get it. It's just too soon.
Yeah.
But he's like really taking it on himself. Like he screwed all of this up as sort of his whole thing.
Do we think maybe he should have gotten a dog or something?
Maybe.
Keep him company.
They're hugging, and Emily says, ew, her French tips, which I didn't understand.
No, her manicure is just like really intense.
He said, ooh, her French tips. anyway, so then they part ways.
Well, she's like dressed like a Stepford wife, which is kind of weird considering her age and the nature of her job. Like she's wearing like cut off like,
little khakis.
Khaki pants.
She's got little khakis.
I know. It's just really weird.
Yeah.
A nanny this day and age doesn't wear anything like that. A nanny back then didn't wear anything like that.
The nanny named Kim.
Yeah.
So Eric Rayburn at the Pacific Northwest Operations Center tells David Palmer, you got to talk to the Pentagon on how to proceed. And David Palmer's like, listen, man, I'm going to tell you this a few times this episode. I'm not treating this like war.
Yeah.
This is a possible terrorist attack.
Yeah.
I'm not like looking to like blow up countries. And Eric Rayburn's like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Based on real foreign policy.
And David Palmer's like, I don't want to just drag us into war.
See, that's the difference between reality and this
David
show.
David Palmer's like, I don't think I want
to
do that.
We have a president that was like, guys, let's just get all the information first, and I don't want to be swayed by any one of you around
me. On the clock, it's 8:17 in the morning, and David's like, I just found out about this 10 minutes ago. I'm not ready to just blow up the world.
Which is fair.
Give me like at least another hour.
We like a leader who examines all sides of the story.
So Eric Rayburn says, but somewhere in L.A. right now, there's a terrorist with his finger on the trigger. From that line, we cut to a brand new storyline featuring characters we have never met before.
Also very blonde.
There is a man named Reza Nair who is driving his red sports car to a house that Emily wondered if that was the house from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, it looked similar.
I will have to do some research and see if that is the case.
You started to, which I was proud of.
Yeah, but then I got sucked back into the episode.
Yeah, you do have to take notes.
And so Reza walks up to Marie Warner, who is his fiance.
They're getting married in 10 hours. They're having a leisurely brunch together.
They're getting married in 10 hours, apparently at the house, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And here comes Kate Warner, mm-hmm. who comes out of the house and says, hey, you two, cut it out.
Yeah.
You engaged people, don't you canoodle in front of me?
It's just crazy.
And Kate's given Ray's a bunch of like side eye about stuff because mm-hmm. She thought that he was supposed to pick up his cousin at the airport. And Ray says, oh, yeah, well, I sent the company car to pick him up. This sticks in Kate's craw.
Yeah.
She doesn't love that.
No, she doesn't.
So she goes to her father, Bob Warner, played by actor John Terry, who was Christian Shepherd on Lost.
I started to think harder about this, and I came to that conclusion maybe like 5 minutes ago.
So Christian Shepherd from Lost, who you did not recognize.
He just looks really different.
It's literally, Emily, the only difference is he has a goatee. And so this, folks, is proof that the Groucho Marx disguise works. You could put on glasses with a big nose and a mustache and become a totally different person, and you will fool at least Emily Fox.
Listen, he was only in the scene for like two minutes.
It's great.
And I didn't watch him again.
Who else could we put a goatee on and you wouldn't recognize? What if Nina Myers comes back with a goatee and Jack Bauer doesn't recognize her? And she gets to pull it over on him all over again.
Listen.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Lost in a really long time. Plus, like, I don't know. That was always a storyline I didn't care for very much.
You mean
I don't like
this,
Jack
one of the
Shepherd.
Central stories of Lost?
I don't like Jack. I think Jack's kind of a dick.
Okay. You prefer Bauer.
I love Jack Bauer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know you do. Anyway, Kate's like, Dad, I don't like Reza.
I hate this storyline.
And she's like, why? He goes, don't you dare tell me it's because he's from the Middle East.
Which is crazy.
And she says, Dad, you know me better than that.
But I did run a background check on him because he's from the Middle East.
It's definitely charged. Okay,
yay,
Kate.
Yay.
Okay, it clearly is. We learn that Kate's mother, Bob's wife, is no longer with us. But she says she'd be so proud of both you and Marie today.
Great voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Eric Rayburn calls George Mason. He's like, tell me what's going on. He's like, I can't yet. Bring in Jack Bauer. George Mason says, we can't get him. He's like, what do we got to do? He says, tell David Palmer to call Jack.
Ay, ay, ay.
So we cut to Jack's apartment. His phone's been ringing off the hook. Tony Almeida is leaving a voicemail. Jack, come on. I've left messages everywhere. Please call me back. Jack pours himself a tall drink of water. We love it when Jack Bauer consumes sustenance in the first episode
it's
of
important.
A season.
He's
first it was Jell-O,
up.
Then he had Boston Market, and now it's a glass of water. Oh yeah, sorry. His place is covered in boxes. He opens a drawer, there's a gun.
Yeah, but he doesn't reach for it.
But you kind of think maybe he's going to.
Yeah.
But it's no, he goes for a photo of him and Terry and Kim, and he's like petting the picture. Mm. It's very sad. And he like falls on the couch, and he's like going to take a nap when the phone rings again, and it's David Palmer calling direct.
Yeah.
And
well,
David
it's Janet
calls him.
Calling on his behalf, yeah. Actually.
David calls and talks to Jack, and David says, how you doing? And Jack says, it's been difficult.
Not great, David.
Basically, not great, Bob Warner. Yeah. And Jack is being told, you are needed right now. And Jack says, I've been inactive for over a year. And David says, that doesn't matter. We need you.
Yeah.
I know you've been in a bad way, but champ up. Now is the time. You saved my life, and I trust you as much as I trust anyone, and now I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack's like, ugh, I shouldn't have picked up the phone. Man. A little bit before 8:30, it's 8:28, when Carla has returned home. Carla Matheson, she's wrapping a present. And Kim says, what you doing? And she says, I'm wrapping a present. And Kim says, would you like me to wrap the present?
Which is also not your job, Kim.
And Carla says, no, I will wrap the present because Gary likes it wrapped in a very specific way. Go upstairs and play with Megan.
Yeah, like get out of here.
So at CT,
she doesn't seem to be doing a great job at wrapping the present.
Who, Carla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching and I was like,
yeah.
But she was nervous.
Right.
Because things are about to happen.
Things are going to go down there.
Yeah.
At CTU, Michelle Dessler comes to Tony. She says, there's something happening. And they like are like really physically close to each other.
And it makes you feel great.
I love it.
You're smiling talking about this because I can hear it in your voice. I can't see your face right now. And
I love
it.
It's
very funny.
So there's a lot. There's not a lot of space between Tony and Michelle, is there?
Is that some foreshadowing?
those little tendrils. They have like a little bit of a look and then they separate.
What is going on with you?
Well, that's what Paul asks Michelle. She says, Michelle, what's going on? And Michelle Dessler tells Paul, leave me alone. You're trying too hard.
Oh, God.
Do your job, says Michelle. Hyper-competent Michelle Dessler. So George comes down and tells everybody about the nuclear bomb. He says, yep, this is happening. Don't call home. Don't call relatives. Keep it tight. We got to find this bomb. It's going to go off here in L.A. I know. Everyone's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, great.
And George is like, a picture of cool, calm, collected. And he's like, it's going to be fine. Totally. Completely fine.
Why didn't I get that promotion in Washington?
Yeah, George Mason is already off to a terrible start today.
Yeah.
So Jack is going to come in. They're just waiting for him. In Oregon, we're learning a little bit more about what will happen if this bomb goes off. There's one low case scenario. Like best case scenario is like immediate loss of life in the low 1000s.
Yeah.
It's like the best case version.
Yeah.
The worst case is like a detonation above the city. With global ramifications for years and years and 2.5 million people dead.
Womp,
not great.
Womp.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
This is another moment, though, where David's like, hey, I'm not calling the military yet. And Eric Rayburn's like, come on. Come on. I just want to kill things. That's what he's saying. Meanwhile, at some undisclosed location, we follow a bunch of the bad guys from Second Wave looking at the nuclear bomb in some kind of warehouse.
It's not a warehouse. It's like a storefront, though.
Some sort of storefront. And it looks like they're like spooning the nuclear bomb together.
It just needs some protein powder. Right? And
it looks like they're making a shake.
Yeah.
Just a spoonful of plutonium.
I don't know.
Like, that's what they're doing. They're just like loading it up.
And they're like, here.
One scoop at a time.
Yeah.
At CTU, Paula is like, hey, I can't do this. Tony's like, oh, God damn it. Not again.
We are all Paula in this moment, though, where they were like,
why isn't Milo back this season? Where is he? Oh, God.
Why did I come back?
Oh, man. I hate this. So Tony's like going to tell Paula, like, please, just one task at a time. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Paula's like,
okay. And you're the best at what you do.
Yeah. He tries to pump her up. And she's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So Paula's going back to work. Here's Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer has walked into CTU. People stop and stare at Jack. And Jack is not loving being the center of attention.
Well, maybe he should have cleaned up before he showed up.
No, he had to be there quick. So he's here now. He apparently still lives really close by. It took him, what is this? About, 8 minutes?
What if his apartment's just like across the way?
Yeah. Just in case. Tony intercepts him. They have a really good handshake, Jack and Tony do.
I mean, there's a lot there. I'm really excited for them to rekindle their bromance.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice.
So he shows up. Have you been? Not great, Tony. Yeah, same. Jack is brought into a conference room with George. Jack is briefly introduced to Michelle Dessler before Jack says, George, just tell me what's going on. No offense, Michelle.
Yeah.
Michelle says, none taken. I get it. She doesn't say that, but I think that's the vibe.
Okay. All right. She like puts a tendril behind her ear and moves on.
Oh my gosh. So George tells Jack about the nuclear bomb, that we don't have any leads on the prime suspect. And that's why we've brought you here. And Jack says, cool. And then, like Grandpa Simpson, walks in and walks right out, turns right around, grabs his hat and goes, and immediately starts to place phone calls to Kim. He says, Kim, you got to get out of LA. You got to leave right now. And Kim says, I told you to stop right now. I can't deal with this. So she hangs up on him, and he calls her again and goes, she puts him straight to voicemail. He says, go find Aunt Carol. Go to Aunt Carol, get out of LA, go to Aunt Carol's house, and then phone me on my cell phone.
And then he calls Carol, and he's like, she's going to do this.
Yeah, he's going to call Carol. First, Tony is going to try and stop Jack.
Yeah.
He says, it's not like last time. We can get to Kim before you can. We will keep her safe.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack says, I'm sorry, Tony. I trusted CTU before. I can't lose my daughter. And Tony says, I know, Jack. I remember. I was there. And he looks like he's about to cry. Because in all of this, we can't forget that Tony and
Tony
Nina were a thing.
Too.
He went through a thing. They both were terribly traumatized that day. How's Tony Almeida ever going to trust anybody again after that?
Mm.
You know?
It's tough.
So there's a lot of sadness here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Tony.
He's like, I know you do.
He's like, I know, Jack. I was there. Jack goes, Tony, my guy, my dude, you did everything you could.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
What would you give Tony's plot line?
A+.
Yeah. He has so many more lines this episode.
He's a series regular
now.
I mean,
everyone's
before,
like, all right, all right. Let him talk.
Carlos Bernard was special guest star throughout season one, and now here he is, series regular Carlos Bernard. And I think the writers are like, we love... Carlos Bernard's like a really funny guy, apparently. He like used to crack the writers up.
Oh, really?
And so I think they really love writing for Tony.
We need to fixate on some other like physical trait of his now that he doesn't have a soul patch.
So this is when Jack calls Aunt Carol, and he's ready to like go... he gets in his truck. Emily wondered if someone was going to give him a flat tire so he couldn't leave CTU. Like,
that's the move.
Unnecessary. All he needs is to see this woman and her little toddler walking around the fence outside of CTU. Just a very normal walking route. You know, I walk by CTU in the mornings.
Yeah, in LA of all places where everybody walks.
Jack decides he's coming back. And so he comes back in and he gives George his terms. But first Tony yells at George and George yells at Tony and Tony says, back off, George.
Wow.
And Jack comes back in. He says, here's the deal. I want Noel or Grossi to pick up Kim. Who are Noel and Grossi?
I have no idea.
CTU names are hilarious. and he says, I want Tony to be giving me updates on what's up with Kim. I'm sorry, George. I just don't trust you. Which is earned.
Yes. Definitely.
Even if George wasn't the mole, he's a douchebag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Tony's on it. He's going to go take care of Kim, is what he says. Meanwhile, they find out that there is this guy named Joseph Wald, who is this like domestic terrorist who Jack had previously gone undercover with. And he's going to be on trial soon. And there's this witness named Marshall Gorin who will be testifying and will put Joseph Wald behind bars. Jack needs to reestablish his cover with Joseph Wald because Wald is somehow connected to the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Jack says, you want me to reestablish my cover with this guy, which would normally take 6 weeks, in under 2 hours? I'm going to need you to do some stuff.
Yeah, like bring him in.
Bring in the witness.
Yeah.
Bring in the guy who's going to testify
now.
So George says, okay, I'll do that. Meanwhile, at the Warner house, it's still, you know... hours to go before this wedding. They're talking about the guest list with hours to go. Reza,
this is so stupid. Why aren't they getting ready?
Reza Nair.
This is so stupid.
Reza Nair does not love that Marie Warner's ex-boyfriend shall be coming to the wedding because all of his brothers have previously married women who were never with another man. And Kate says, oh, so does that make Marie damaged goods?
I can't deal with both.
And Marie is like, Kate, come on.
I've got him wrapped around my little finger.
And he knows it.
Yeah.
Kate gets a phone call from...
He's like, I'm right here.
Kate gets a phone call from a private investigator named Ralph Burton.
I don't know why that's so funny, but it is.
Ralph Burton called.
Hi, Ralph Burton here.
And he says, well, Kate, I have some news to share. And Kate says, what's the news? And Ralph Burton says, well...
He really draws it the hell out.
You know, Reza has a lot of legitimate business, but there is another guy that he's crossed paths with named Syed Ali. who is an international financier with ties to terrorists.
Hmm.
Not the woman. They've had dealings. And Ralph Burton says it's possible that it was legitimate business. He says legitimate twice in a very strange way.
Yeah.
And he says, but if you want to know for sure, I'm going to need your help. So this is the beginning of the Warner storyline.
Sure is.
How are you feeling about the Warners so far?
I hate it.
How do you want to grade the Warners?
I think it's like a solid C.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got Kim is
we
an
can't
F.
keep grading all the plots here.
Can we? We
no,
can't. You sure?
We shouldn't.
Okay.
We shouldn't.
Okay.
We can do it for the first episode, but beyond that.
Warners are getting a C right now. Starting with a C. David Palmer once again, like,
he gets an A plus.
David Palmer once again finds out that Eric Rayburn's just trying to like go to war behind his back.
Classic move.
Could you not go to war behind my back, Eric, please? And Eric says, sir, I would never work against you.
Mm-hmm.
And David's like, yeah, okay. I've been through this before.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been through it with people who would eat you for breakfast. That's what he tells him.
I eat little pieces of
shit like you for breakfast. Say it. That's the Shooter McGavin.
I know. I didn't want to say the S word.
I'll be the one who curses twice on this
okay.
podcast.
All right. I get in trouble when I do.
I know. David says, man, it's going to be a long day.
Which I appreciate.
Back at CTU, Jack Bauer and Michelle Dessler are working on Jack's background. They're trying to come up with
they're
an alibi.
They're working on Jack's back. It's very tight.
They're trying to come up with an alibi for where Jack has been as he reestablishes cover with Joseph Wald. He initially is saying they're saying that he was arrested for armed robbery, but they changed it to transporting illegal explosives. That's how they know me. That's what he says.
Ay, ay, ay.
So then Marshall Gorin is here, and Jack won't tell George why he needs him. And this is when George says, Jack, look at you. You look like a bum off the street. Are you losing it, Jack? I don't have time to clean up your mess today. And Jack looks at George.
Jack's like, I'm about to make one.
Yeah, Jack's like, well, you're going to have to clean this up. Because here comes Marshall Gorin. He's this dude who gets sat down in a chair. Jack says to Michelle Dessler, Michelle, you're going to want to not see this. And Michelle says, you sure you don't want me to stay? Says Jack says, no, I don't think you should look. Michelle's like, I could just put the tendrils over my eyes.
Oh, my
God. I could just not look.
Yeah.
Jack says, no, please go. So she leaves. And it's just George and Jack and Marshall Gorin. And George is on the phone with the people who've been holding Marshall Gorin. He's like, yeah, we'll have him back in an hour.
We'll
have him for you in an hour.
Yeah.
And so Jack says to this guy, you are Marshall Gorin. 8 counts kidnapping, 2 counts child pornography, 1st-degree murder. And Marshall Gorin says, yeah.
He's
yeah,
pretty smug about
hear
it.
Any of this.
Yeah, he's pretty smug about it.
I got my deal.
No, you're a bad guy, though.
I'm going to testify against this guy, and then I'm going to walk free. What are you going to do? Blah, as he gets shot in the chest.
Yeah.
Jack Bauer pulls out a gun and shoots this unarmed man in the chest in front of George Mason in the middle of a conference room at CTU.
Yeah.
We're a long way from tranquilizer darting somebody in the first episode of a season of 24.
Yeah,
Emily, this is an escalation.
I believe we really kicked this up a notch, if you will.
Bam.
Yeah.
And George is shocked. You also were shocked.
Well, yeah. I didn't expect that to happen first episode.
You go, whoa.
Yeah.
You had a big reaction.
But you know what? Jack is on the other side of Terry's death.
Yeah.
Things need to happen quickly. This is going to be a long day. He needs to get to the bottom of things.
George says, what are you doing? What is this? You can't just kill a guy, Jack. What are you doing? And Jack says, if you want to find this bomb, this is what it's going to take. This is the problem with people like you. You want results, but you don't want to get your hands dirty.
I'd start
rolling up my sleeves. That's what he says to George.
This is crazy.
No. What's crazy
is the hacksaw
is what Jack says next.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a hacksaw. I'm going to need a hacksaw.
Do you think he's going to take another thumb?
Emily, your reaction to this line.
Ah! Why? Do you think he's going to strip his head, like he's going to like scalp him and wear his hair and be like, I'm going to pretend to be
I'm
him.
Marshall Gorin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Quickly lotion his skin. We're going to take it off.
Oh, my God.
Or else he'll get the hose again.
I'm going to need a hacksaw. This is one of the iconic lines of 24.
Yeah, like, what is he going to do?
I'm going to need a hacksaw is legendary. Legendary stuff.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, so you could put him in a bag and leave the building without anyone knowing?
I'm going to need a hacksaw. He shot him. There's people
He shot
working.
Him right in the chest. If,
why did
why
you?
Why did you?
He shot him in a conference room at CTU. It's not like it was like a soundproof room. And he says, this is what it's going to take, George. You're going to have to let me shoot random people today.
Paula's not going to like this at all.
Paul's like, I'm really stressed out. Really stressed out. I don't like what just happened. So that's what Jack does to this guy. Yeah. Then we cut back to the Mathesons. To the F line. Here we are on the F line as this is awful. As Gary comes home, he clearly does not love how the gift was wrapped. Because
he got a ShamWow out of his convertible and quickly cleaned the car before he came into the
house.
Yeah,
that does happen first. He loves his car. He has like a sports car that he loves. So Gary is abusing Carla downstairs, and Megan is very upset, and Kim also is very upset and is not quite sure what to do here. She wraps a towel around Megan's head to make it look like they were doing like girl stuff in the bathroom, is what she tells Gary.
Yeah.
She's going through a modest stage. No boys allowed. And Gary said, did you hear anything? They say, no. And why? He says, oh, well, Carla had an accident. She slipped. She's fine. Could you go give her a hand, Kim? I need a few minutes alone with my daughter. And Kim doesn't want to leave Megan alone with
Which
Gary.
Which I think is like a good instinct, considering what she just witnessed.
So she steps forward and says, I don't really think that's such a... And he says, nope. And he pushes her to the ground. So now he's pushed Kim to the ground. And Megan starts crying. And Gary tells her to shut up.
Yep.
He turns to Kim and says, stay down, Kim. I will hurt you.
Terrifying.
And then he pushes Megan and she falls and hits her head on the bed.
Do you know what I would say at this point? Do you know who my father is?
Yeah, probably a good one to pull out at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't background check me, guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to come to regret the day that you crossed Jack Bauer's daughter. Let me tell
That's
you.
That's true.
Don't you know what I've been through?
God.
Don't you remember the threat I leveled against Rick's girlfriend in jail?
Don't you remember Rick?
Don't you remember I outran the Drazens?
Wow,
it's
true.
I jumped into the harbor. I survived that.
Don't you remember I broke into a furniture store?
Did that ever happen to you? So that's what's going on with Kim. She's now in the middle of this.
Yeah.
An F. For the Kim storyline.
And it's not even her fault. I mean, it is her fault because it's Kim.
Well, I don't think this is yet.
No, not yet.
This isn't.
But like maybe you like wind down the day and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to make a quick call back to my dad.
Yeah.
He seemed a little worried about me. And like now I'm frazzled because I'm a traumatized person who's trying to get over that. But now I've just been re-traumatized.
It's not great.
No.
Not great.
No.
So there's going to be a decent amount of this stuff throughout the season.
This
so,
is just a little taste, basically. So, we got a sampler platter of every plot line.
So,
and,
you know,
yeah.
the domestic abuse content warning is fully up. You know, proceed with caution for anyone who this was triggering for, because this is a part of the season of 24. All right. So the episode ends not with a fireball, Emily, but with Jack Bauer having cut his hair and shaving off his beard in what? 3 minutes after he just murdered a guy.
And he like asked for a hacksaw. Do you think he got it already? And he handed it to George and he was like, get to work.
Yeah. What do
I
you
need
think,
to shave.
What do you think he used the hacksaw for?
His beard.
For his beard.
I need this.
Yeah. Don't you see what I have on my face? I'm going to really need to shave it
off. This is really thick.
So the beard is gone. The hair is short. And Jack Bauer, looking in the mirror, is back at CTU. And we are off. Season two is officially underway. Emily
Woo!
Fox, letter grade for the season two premiere of 24.
I give it a good old A.
This is an A.
Yeah.
Even with an F story.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was it that you liked the most?
No, it's just nice to see everybody again. It looks like there's going to be a good level of bullshit.
Yep.
but a lot of great characters coming back into the mix, which is exciting.
I think a good level of bullshit is probably accurate, but also a lot of great characters who are still here.
Yeah.
Some new ones that we love. Mm-hmm. Some new ones we don't.
Yes.
And we will see how the balance goes with those things moving forward.
Yeah.
So that's going to be it. That's the first episode of season 2 of 24 officially in the books. Worst day ever. We are back. We are in it. We're doing season 2. It's happening. My goodness. Send us feedback. Josh@postshowrecaps.com. That's my email address. Josh@postshowrecaps.com. If you've got feedback about season 2 of 24, if you want to talk to both Emily and I, I'm at Round Howard on Twitter. She's at Emlet, like an omelet with an E. Do not give her any spoilers beyond this episode of 24. She's seen none of it. If you want to talk to us even more, come join the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. Hang out with us every single day. You could do that by going to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Support the podcast at whatever level you can afford. We would appreciate it. patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Emily, anything else?
No, man. I'm just psyched to be back.
We love being back.
I'm going to shave my beard, too.
All right. We're going to go shave our beards. We'll be back next week, season 2, episode 2. Take care, everybody. Bye. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.